I want to talk to you guys about passing on the mantle. Passing on the mantle comes from the story of Elijah and Elisha. You guys know that story? Where Elijah gets taken up into heaven and Elisha is left behind, picks up the mantle, it's like this little half cloak thing, of Elijah, and the power of Elijah is given to Elisha. So it's this symbol of passing on of authority, passing on of commission. So I'm not going to talk about Elijah and Elisha today, though. I'm going to talk about another Old Testament story where there is a lesson of mentor and mentee. Or, if you guys know, this is May the 4th. So May the 4th be with you, Star Wars Day. So let's go with master and apprentice, because that flows with that. I'm going to talk today about the passing on of the mantle from Moses to Joshua. Now, I don't know if you have ever really researched into Joshua's life. Joshua, there's a lot in the Bible about Joshua. He's even got his own book. If you haven't read it, you should read it sometime. It's really good. The first time we see Joshua is in Exodus 17. This is after the Israelites have left Egypt. This is after the Red Sea. And this is the Israelites' first battle. This is the first battle versus the Amalekites. And it says that Moses gave Joshua command of this battle. So, obviously, before Joshua became Moses' apprentice, his assistant, that Joshua was a leader. And I got thinking about it. Well, you're not going to give leadership of the army to some little kid. You're going to give this to an adult. So that means that Joshua had grown up as a slave in Egypt. He'd experienced that slavery. He would have seen the 10 plagues that ravaged Egypt. He would have seen the Exodus, the millions of people leaving Egypt. He would have seen the crossing of the Red Sea. He would have experienced all this. Every day he would see the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud leading the people. He saw Moses and water coming from a rock. He saw manna and quail from heaven. He has experienced God's power and has seen with his very eyes the kingship of God. And all this is before he is even mentioned in Exodus 17. Now, another thing that was very interesting for me, I'm reading through this, and I'm reading, and it comes to this part where it says that Moses' wife and his two sons joined the Israelites. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Moses had two sons. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but you think about the patriarchs and the originators of Israel. You got Jacob and Isaac and all these guys passing down from generation to generation. Moses did not pass down leadership from generation to generation. He had two sons, but he chose Joshua as his assistant. So Joshua learned from Moses' example. And sometime between this battle with the Amalekites, okay, this battle, you might remember this one where Moses is up on the hill, and however long he holds up the staff, the Israelites are winning, and then his arms get tired, and then he has a couple guys come up and help him hold up the staff. You guys remember that story? Yeah, that's that battle. Joshua's down there commanding it. So between that time and when the Ten Commandments happened at Mount Sinai, Joshua became Moses' assistant. We read that in Exodus 24:13. Now, what we also learn is that Joshua was learning from Moses' mistakes. Moses, he was a great leader. He had the power of God on his life. He was leading millions of people on a trek to the promised land. But he wasn't perfect. And he was open to constructive criticism. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, showed up. Now, when my father-in-law shows up and he says, you should do this, or maybe you should rethink that, it has a little bit of a tone of authority. But Jethro sees Moses working way too hard, micromanaging way too much, and says, Moses, you have to, instead of dealing with every single person's problem, set up somebody over 50s, somebody over 100s, somebody over thousands, so that responsibility is delegated. And this was a fantastic example, not only to the people of Israel, but especially to Joshua, because Joshua was learning leadership from Moses. Moses went up Mount Sinai when the presence of God was on the mountain. And he took Joshua with him. And Joshua went part of the way up the mountain and stopped and waited for Moses to come back. He waited for 40 days. Then Moses comes back down with the Ten Commandments. And you guys know this story. I'm hitting all these stories that you guys all know, but I'm putting it together in this big framework for you. The incident with the golden calf. You guys know this story. Moses comes down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. Because the people, in only 40 days, have so twisted and turned from God that they make this golden calf that they can worship. Moses comes down, meets Joshua halfway down the mountain. Joshua thinks, oh, we're under attack. Moses is like, no, it's worse. But the point is, Joshua was still there waiting for his mentor to come back down. You want to turn to Exodus 33 for a second. I'm going to read 7 to 11 of Exodus 33. And this is an amazing, amazing picture of leadership by example. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw this pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to their tent, they all stood in worship, each at the entrance to their own tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Joshua deliberately spent time with God. He wanted to experience God. He had a hunger for God's will. And not just an impersonal relationship of God had these plagues, God saved us from Egypt, God in the Red Sea, manna from heaven. God as an impersonal being. Joshua wanted to meet with God. Right after this golden calf thing, Moses was talking to God, and God was so angry with the people for their disobedience because of their turning away and worshiping this golden calf. And God told Moses, I am so angry with these people that if I go with you guys, I'll wipe them all out. I can't handle this. But God would send His Spirit to go with him instead. Moses replies, and this is a very important thing. If you are not going to go with us to the promised land, don't send us from here. If you're not coming, we're not going. Because what's the point? God led them out of Egypt. God led them across the Red Sea. God led them across the desert and provided manna. But if all of a sudden God does not go with you, what's the point of going? And this is so profound because it shows just how much Moses realizes that it's not about himself and what he can do. It's about what he has done and what he can do. See, Moses is leading millions of people. By Moses' hand and word, the most powerful nation on earth has been laid low. But he remembers who gave those victories. He remembers whose power it is. Moses doesn't forget who called him from a burning bush. So they travel. Oh, this way for you guys. They travel to the promised land. And Joshua was chosen as the representative of his tribe, Ephraim, to spy out the promised land. They spy it out. They come back. They come back with giant clusters of grapes. They come back with tales of giants and fortified cities. But he and Caleb were the only ones saying that they could take it. That with God on their side, they got this. They trusted the God who led them out of Egypt, and he trusted that God could lead them into Canaan. And God rewarded their trust because they were the only two people left after the 40 years of wandering to go into the land. All those people that said, oh no, it can't be done. Oh no, we should go back. They didn't take part of the promised land. Now, so they're wandering around in the desert for 40 years. Wandering around and around and around. And Moses has this assistant, Joshua, sticking by his side for 40 years of wandering. Now, we read it and we're like, oh, okay, 40 years. Yeah, they weren't going anywhere, but whatever. Joshua was loyal. We read that, but try to understand that. Would we be so loyal to our leadership if for 40 years they went literally in circles? Would we be happy with our government if they just went around and around and around and got nothing accomplished? Would you stand up for that for 4 years? If not, no. You wouldn't even stand. No, it's 40 years. But Joshua stuck by Moses' side. So at the end of the 40 years, Moses knows he's about to die. And God instructs him to commission Joshua as the next leader. This is in Numbers 27. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is a spirit of leadership, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly, and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority, so the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command they will come in. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Then he laid hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord instructed Moses. Now the laying on of hands is an outward expression of blessing and acceptance. If you remember the story of Jacob and Esau and how Jacob tricked his father Isaac into laying hands on him and speaking the blessing over him. Now, a couple months ago, we had an ordination service for me. And we had people here, and part of that service was Alicia and I standing up front and people coming and laying hands on us. And it's the same kind of commissioning and acceptance. And God commands Moses in Deuteronomy 1 and Deuteronomy 3. But your assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, will enter the land. Encourage him, because he will lead Israel to inherit it. But commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead his people and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see. God has commanded Moses not to just pass on leadership, but encourage him, to strengthen him. Joshua has seen all the headaches that Moses has had. Who do you think Moses talked to besides God? And probably his wife. Talk to the guy he worked with. Talk to his second in command. Oh, the people are demanding that again. The people are complaining about this again. And Moses strengthened and encouraged Joshua. In Deuteronomy 34:9. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. And this is where the mantle gets passed. This is where Moses is like, my time is done. It's your time to step up. Calls everybody together, lays hands on him. He will now lead. My authority is his. And this is the moment where the apprentice becomes the master. Where Moses is trusting that all he taught Joshua will be with him as he steps up to lead. In the very first chapter of Joshua, very first verse, 1-6. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I have promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert in Lebanon to the great river of the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. This authority, this commissioning, Moses is gone. The time of Moses is over. The time of Joshua and the next generation is come. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. And Joshua stepped up. First thing he did, they crossed the Jordan River. And I'm thinking about it. What's the first thing that Moses did after they exited Israel? After they exited Egypt? They crossed this Red Sea. And I was thinking more about it. I'm like, Jericho reminds me of Egypt being brought low. Not because of what the soldiers could do. Not because of what the vast millions of Israelites could do. but by the power of God. Throughout the whole book of Joshua, you see Joshua's campaign to bring the promised land to the Israelites. You see his leadership. And like I said, there's a whole book about it, and you should read it if you haven't. But Joshua was steadfast. He stood firm. He was fully devoted and committed to God. And throughout his entire life, he held the nation of Israel accountable. At the end of Joshua's life, he calls the people together again. And calls them to task and says, this is how it is. Joshua 24:15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. And this is the famous part. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Here is Joshua at the end of his life, making a bold statement, a very cut and dried, white and black. This is how it is. And this reminds me of Moses saying to God, if you don't go with us, we won't go. And I think Joshua learned that. Well, steadfastness, I'll use that word again, from Moses. This is the legacy that Moses instilled into Joshua by his words and by his deeds. Joshua was there when the people of Israel learned hard lessons. When the people left the slavery of Egypt, when they came into the land promised them by God to their forefathers. Joshua was there throughout the entire thing. The end of chapter 24 in Joshua. After these things, Joshua, son of Nun, servant of the Lord. Servant of the Lord. Moses, servant of the Lord. Died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua's example affected all the people. Moses, servant of the Lord. It's probably got to be the best thing on a tombstone. I like that. Servant of the Lord. Taught and inspired and mentored Joshua, who at the end of his life was called servant of the Lord. That mantle was passed from master to apprentice. So how do we pass the mantle today? Because it's all well and good. It's in the Bible. It's Joshua and Moses. But how do we do that today? Now, this is Youth Emphasis Sunday. And we bring more focus on the youth and the young adults and the next generation of this church today. We're having the outreach lunch. We're talking about History Maker. And it is the next generation of this church that I have a passion for. Because without the next generation to this church, where's the church going to be in a few years? And this is why it's so crucially important that this body, this church, that Terrace Pentecostal Assembly, invests so much time and resources into our future. Now, investing means that you, sometime in the future, we don't know when, our time, our energy, our resources will produce results, will yield fruit. Now, what kind of legacy are we wanting to instill into this next wave of leaders? You may see a youth group. I see next board members. I see missionaries. I see Sunday school teachers. How are we pouring life lessons, wise advice, and most importantly, and this is the most important thing, how are we being an example of how God has worked in our lives and how those who look up to us can clearly see the power and glory of God's plan. I truly believe that Moses would have been so proud and so very happy at the legacy that he left with Joshua. I'll probably ask him one day. How Joshua stood firm, served God, led the people, and was faithful. And I pray that the mantle that we pass on to the next generation would be one first and primarily of faithfulness to God. Because that stood stronger than anything else. That our children and our youth and our young adults would stand firm and say, God, if you're not going with me, I don't want to go. I want to be in your will. And I know for a fact that every single parent who believes in Jesus in this room today would be overjoyed if their children would say, you can believe what you want. But as for me and mine, we will serve the Lord. This is the legacy I pray we leave behind. And this is the mantle that we should pass on.